Well, hello there, my beautiful souls. Yes, it's me, Sandy Joy Weston. I can't believe I've been podcasting for over 16 years, and my agent realized I keep forgetting to tell you something super important. Yes, besides being a podcast host and an author, I am also a keynote speaker. What? I bring big energy, powerful shifts, and inspiration to audiences all over. How could I not tell you this? So if you're planning something fabulous and you want your crowd to shine bright and have a blast, head over to my sandyjoyweston.com website and check out my speaker page. I would love for you to refer me, recommend me. I would love for you to be in my audience. So let's make some pure joy together. I really appreciate it. Toodles.
This is Let's Keep It Real with Sandy Joy Weston, your weekly dose of positivity with awesome stories and guests from all over the world. It's an opportunity to learn some great new things and expand your mind. We'll tackle topics from all areas of life, and as always with Sandy, the sky's the limit.
Hello, hello, my Let's Keep It Real people. Oh my God. Where'd the time go? Are you sure summer's over? Please say no. Please say no. I know some of you want fall, but I do like the change of the seasons now that I think of it. Okay, I'll be good with it. All right, let's get right to it. You sent me in a lot of questions. You want to reinvent yourself? You want to start over? Is it too late? Am I too young? Oh, I don't know. I've dug so many holes. Can I get out of it? What if I want to make a quick shift? Is that possible? I don't want to do the deep work. Well, anyhow, I thought about it and I thought, who could I bring on now? Tom. I hope I got it right, Tom. D'Addario? Did I say it right, Tom?
Perfect, Sandy. Perfect.
All right. Tom D is in the house. How are you, Tom?
I'm doing great, Sandy. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. Do you think you can answer all those questions?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm actually excited about it. Those are the perfect questions to ask when you're ready to take the leap and reinvent yourself and really start to develop or take on what it takes to be effective in this thing we call life, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we have a lot to accomplish in about 45 minutes, but we're going to make a dent. If not, they can reach out to you. But before we do any of that, I'm going to read your bio.
Sure.
Which I like your bio. Tom D'Addario. I just like saying that. D'Addario is the CEO and founder of Breakthrough Results Training Group, LLC, a New Jersey-based holler. It's where I was born, grew up. Leadership training and development company. Tom is a dynamic, highly sought-after speaker and trainer who has delivered hundreds of presentations. You need Tom. Tom believes that true transformation goes beyond surface-level adjustments and instead delves into the very essence of what drives performance. Me and Tom balance each other out. Tom's mythology emphasizes the interplay between mental frameworks, language, emotions, action, and results. For the past 10 years, Tom has helped individuals and organizations improve their leadership, expand their effectiveness, and increase productivity. All right, before we dive into any of these questions, you can pick one word. Whatever word comes to mind, it's got to be honest about it. What pops into your head that describes your past 30 days and why'd you pick it?
Good. Let's see. Past 30 days. Turbulent.
Well, we haven't had that word before. Turbulent.
Yep. Turbulent.
Tell me why, Tom.
Well, I've been experiencing a lot of growth over the last 30 days, and some of it's been great. And as a culmination of things that I expected and work that I laid down and some foundational work, and some of it's out of the blue, I wasn't ready for. So it's a roller coaster ride, you know, as things start to succeed professionally, that starts to put strains on the relationships that I have with my daughters and the promises that I made with them and with my fiance and the promises that I made with her and other people that are relying on me and that I have agreements with. So I'm being pulled in one direction and I've got to do the work to make up for where I may be lacking or breaking agreements in other areas. And it can be turbulent. You know, there's some upsets to deal with even when things are going great. So so I have this roller coaster ride of, oh, wow, things are going great over here. And then, oh, wow, I got this to take care of over here. I've got to make new agreements. I got to renegotiate. I got to talk this through. Things I didn't expect are now upon me. And now that's going to impact how things are moving in the direction of these other areas. So that's what's been going on in the last 30 days, is that I've had to make some quick adjustments and tend to the smoothness of some of the areas in my life.
Well, that's a lot to dive into. So yes. I've got all these questions over here. Let's get into it. And thank you for your authenticity.
Sure.
So for me, for everybody out there listening and watching, let's talk about what you mean. Let's get really into it by agreements with people. Think up, but I don't want to assume. And give us some real, you know, tangible things that are going on so that people can say, oh, okay, I can relate that to my life. So let's break down one. What's an agreement to you, first of all?
So the agreements that I have with myself is mostly in around the health and well-being. You know, like I have an agreement that I'm going to do, you know, spend X amount of time. Let's, you know, for me, it's an hour a day exercising. And that I'm going to eat within the caloric range that I have for myself, right? And you know, I'm going to fast for X amount of hours, and then I'm going to eat, and this is going to be the macro breakdown, right? So those are all promises to myself. I also have promises to myself as my, in terms of my roles as a father, as a fiance, and that my promise to myself is that they come first, and that I got to move things around and prioritize my time accordingly. So those are examples of agreements with myself.
Okay. So it's basically, I've called this before, you know, the promises I make to myself, my commitments, some days I call it my BAM, my bare ass minimum, meaning this minimum, there's no way how, for me, I'm working out an hour a day. I don't care, you know?
That's right.
Like that it's coming in, and I'm going to figure, because it's already ingrained. The habit is already created. You know, I'm going to do it. Just where is it going to get in? And yet I get that you also have agreements with your family. So talk about what you mean agreements with your daughters. You mean the time you spend with them, you know, travel, soccer, where, ballet, where are we going with this?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's all of that. And actually this might sound funny, right? But it's been worse since there was nothing going on in this last 30 days. So August, all sports are done. You know, the fall's about to ramp up, but there's this lag time, no school. All right. You know, the girls, and unless we figure out something to do, there's nothing for them to do. Right. So it's, and if we don't get intentional with how we're going to spend, how they're going to spend their time, then it's just going to be electronics and waste of time, you know? Right. Gotcha. So I've been torn because I've been busy. So now I'm home. Deirdre, my fiance, she's working, you know, 4 days a week. So I'm home with the girls. So now I'm torn between this time I thought I was going to have, and they would have things planned and they would be doing things with friends and all that. I wasn't proactive about setting all that up. So now here I am, if I have to sacrifice, you know, some of the time that I have to, that I would be tending to work, to make sure I get them set up to do other things that are productive. And it was tough to navigate since it kind of was on top of me before I realized it.
So let me ask you a question, Tom.
Yep.
I get the agreements. I get the promise. I get, like, listen, this is what I'm doing for myself, my health. I didn't realize you were so into health. That's a whole nother podcast. But is it because you want to do it? Or is this, I should do it? Like, is it like, yeah, I had all this stuff going over here for work, but when I really look at it now, I really want to do these things for the girls. Or is it, I should? Because I know we can get into that out of obligation. And it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, yeah. It's all by choice, right? So I got really clear on, you know, how do I want to be as a father? What is it that I bring? If you know, if Charlie and Frankie, my daughters, had to explain to someone.
How old are they, by the way? How old are they?
9 and 12. So it starts by choice. And without getting too, basically, this is how I want to show up for them. This is how I want to show up as their father. This is how I want to show up as a partner, right? So it's really about the roles. And I look at it as first, okay, how do you want to show up? And then I get real clear about that. And then I can measure now my performance as a father, right? Am I measuring up to my promise?
I got it.
Yeah.
Dude, you must be a good dad.
Well, you know, I mean,
you put a lot of thought into it. So some people, I know my peeps are out there saying like, wait a minute. Okay, I do that for my business. I promise my employees this. I promise my staff this. I need to make this money, blah, blah, blah. And there are a lot of great fathers out there and mothers. Believe me, there are. But I think sometimes I love that we may not like put as much thought into it. It's an afterthought, you know, like, oh yeah. And I love that it's just as much a priority of what you agreed to and what you want to accomplish, because that's who you want to show up for as a father.
Yeah. Like,
as an individual, as a father, you know, as me, as a spouse, you know, family man, like you know how you want to show up. And you've become, because it's one of your points that you said over. You've gotten really clear personally what you want to achieve.
That's right. Now, I should preface this too with, look, I screw up all the time. Like, I don't, you know, so, you know, what I've learned, it's that you set the bar high, right? And all you do is, all we're measuring is performance. I try not to make it personal. I try not to make it a personal attack or get down on myself or beat myself up over something. Like, here's the bar. This is the goal I'm shooting for. This is the performance level I choose to perform at. And if I drop the ball or I screw up or whatever the case may be, what I don't want to do is step over cleaning anything up I have to. If I break an agreement, break a promise that I hold myself to carry, then what makes the difference is I just go to work on, hey, this is what I'm committed to here. And dad didn't do that. And I'm sorry. And, you know, then I make a new promise. And that's how I maintain my relationship with them, even through my screw ups.
Okay, peeps. This is huge, Tom, by the way. So this is huge. And I want to get really clear, because I might be biased, but my peeps, they are really great humans. We have a lot of great humans in here. And they also admit they make mistakes. But the ones that are mom and dads, I'm going to go out on a limb saying, I believe they're probably awesome people, awesome parents, but we all need room for improvement. So for those of you on the path or thinking about having kids, I just want to be very, very clear to make sure I understand it. You want to make sure every day that you look yourself in the mirror and you like the person you are. You love who you are and how you're showing up. And these commitments and promises you made to yourself is even more important than what you made to the others, because you want to be able to say that you really are doing what you said. Now, it doesn't always happen and you screw up, but then you own it and you talk about it and you say, okay, maybe I can't do this because now I got this project going on with work, or this is going to take more time, but I can do this. I just want to make sure I got it down.
You do. And I love that you said own it, right? It's like take ownership of, right? If you drop the ball. And then part of the ownership part, and you know, there's a blueprint for this, but without going into detail, basically there's always an impact too when we break an agreement. There's an impact. You know, there's something lost, there's something broken, there's always something to the degree of the promise. Sometimes we have little promises, little impact. Sometimes we make big promises, we don't keep. Huge impact, right? The thing it is, then I think that what builds great character and what builds workability, even through our screw ups, is, to your point, if we own it, don't diminish it, fully own it, and actually even ask what it was like for them and what's the impact on them when we drop the ball. And that it shows that we care. It shows that we're not diminishing in any way, shape, or form, and that we really want to make, and we are aware of and want to be aware of the negative impact we may have, so that we have an opportunity to clean it up and make it better as we go.
I love you. I love that. I love that, because it matters to me. My son, you know, he's a sophomore in college. And before I even open my mouth, he goes, Mom, I get it. You screwed up. Just before this, you're gonna crack up. He's going on the train down to Tyler. He's decided he's gonna commute this semester. Okay, you get the monthly pass, whatever. Didn't work. Now it's working. I say to him yesterday, just make sure it works. So tap it. He goes, Mom, I don't know. Something's telling me don't do that. I'm like, just tap. He goes, Mom, I don't think I could just tap it. You know, I go, I just want to make sure the monthly P card's working. He goes, so he taps. I go, see, it's working. It's all good. He gets down to the school. He gets in. They let him in. They won't let him out of the train station because they said he owes all this back money. And the guy said $386.
Wow.
He goes, what? And I'm like, you talk to the guy. I can't get a hold of my mom. I don't know what she did. Blah, blah, blah. End of story. It was $3.86, not $308. But it's because he didn't tap out. I didn't know that. So if you go on the trip, so he's like, I tried to tell you, but you had to be right. You had to resolve it today. And I'm like, so he's 30 minutes late for class. I'm like, I'm sorry. Because, oh, mom. And my weakness is I want to get it done today and check it off. Like, it's not like I'm right or wrong. I don't care about being wrong. I just wanted to know it worked. He goes, mom, you need patience and know not everything can be accomplished today. Isn't that, and I was doing that going, I'm going to be late for my podcast with Tom. Yeah. And I'm just doing that because mom, just breathe and go. It's okay. Not everything can be solved today. And you and I were talking about that before we went on air that yes, everyone listening goes, I want actionable items. What can I take away? What did I learn from Tom? And they will, but also other things take time. There isn't a quick fix. So I want you to address that because that's the biggest thing you said. Wait a minute. Mayday, counterintuitive. I don't do that, but there are some things you can, like, I think the action you can own right today is number one, what I'm seeing is making agreements, making a promises, being really clear on them. You can start with that. And also owning it when you didn't follow through or you did screw up. And it's okay because we all do.
That's right. And to add to that, this goes for when we find ourselves in high pressure or unworkable situations. Sometimes we make agreements or we make promises and situations change. And if we're not proactive with being in communication when the situations change, we then may find ourselves in an unworkable situation. You know, I said yes, that I would do X every week. Well, I got busy now. All of a sudden, I can't do X every week. Or I'm on the treadmill of trying to keep up with doing X every week because I don't want to let you down. And now we're living in on the treadmill of hell, I call it, where we can't get off. We have no time to ourselves. It's constant stress, constant putting out fires, right? It works, too, that when we find ourselves in an unworkable situation, to be proactive with renegotiating the situation.
I love that.
It's up to us to create workable solutions for ourselves.
Okay. So I know we want to talk about, this is not a quick fix, which I'm all about. I'm not that way either. I'm not that way with mental or physical. It just, you might get a result, but if we don't go deep, it's only going to be short term and it's going to surface its ugly. But before we get into that, let's go, because you said you've been doing this for like 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Do before that, Tom, tell us about your life.
Okay. So yeah, well.
Okay. Before that, let's start.
Yeah. So just before that, I actually owned a bar restaurant and I had a series of businesses that I kept progressing through. And the ultimate goal or dream for me in my early adulthood was to own my own bar restaurant, right? I came from the DJ world as a kid, as a teenager. I DJed. I built a DJ business. You know, I was managing the Spirit of Baltimore, the Spirit of Philadelphia.
Whoa. Spirit of Philadelphia?
Yes.
That was you?
Yes. For a time, for a span of about 5 years, yes.
Okay.
So my point is, it was, I built up this business and I wanted to have my own venue. I wanted to produce, I wanted to entertain and give people a dining experience that was unique. So I wanted to do my own thing. And ultimately I did that. I had success. And I was able to afford to buy that. And then sometime around 2010, it started to turn. And by 2012, I was bankrupt. So I had lost everything. And in 2012, I followed that up with another failure and opened up in 2014, I think it was, I opened up a sandwich shop that lasted about two more years. And I limped along and that ended up failing as well. So then I, and in the process this whole time, I was, I've been involved with personal development and self-growth and since about 2004. And I dedicate a lot of my life to personal growth and, you know, personal development. So on the side, as I'm learning and I'm growing and I'm taking chances and I'm reinventing myself and I'm applying it, I started to get involved with leading programs and doing coaching work. And that was where 10 years ago, ultimately, I started to do that as a part-time job that ultimately became my full-time job.
Okay. There's a whole nother podcast here. You see that in failure, overcoming failure. But sure. Let's just scratch the surface here for a little bit. So bankrupt in 2012.
Yes.
I'm guessing the self-development helped you get through that, because that's really hard for an entrepreneur, businessman. I mean, that's just like, how do you get back up? I mean, true entrepreneurs do. I mean, they're just like, yeah. So I want to know, stay with it, because we have a lot of people out there that are entrepreneurs and solopreneurs. How did you deal with that?
Well, not good at first. You know, the restaurant had my name on it, right? Dazio's is what it was called, right?
God.
So, and it was who I was, right? It was the big chance I took. You know, I bought it when I was, 35 years old, right? So I was, for that industry, fairly young, and I took my chances and I put all the eggs in the one basket. It was my name and all this. And I had a good
was
run.
Was it in Jersey?
It was in New Jersey. Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, and I had a good run for about 5 years, and then it started to turn. And, you know, those 2 years from 2010 to 2012, where I finally just couldn't continue, was brutal, right? I mean, it sucked up all my resources. I was spending all my time, like I was fully dedicated to keeping this thing afloat. And really, because it was my identity, right? So my whole identity was wrapped up in it. And then so when I finally just couldn't keep it afloat anymore, and I just had to, you know, just give up, you know, basically give up because I couldn't continue. I ran out of time, right, with the bank and with everybody else. And, you know, so anyhow, I took it very difficult. It was not like I bounced right back from that. You know, there was a time I went through, I'm a failure. Now, by this time, I'm 42. I think I have my daughter was one at the time, you know, and I went from, by the way, finding it out. I had it sold. And then the day of the liquor license transfer, the sale fell through. So it was like the bottom was ripped out from under me. And then so I, whatever resources I had left, now, Deirdre was pregnant at the time. We re-up it. We changed the name. We try and reinvent it and limped along for another year. And that just wiped out all those resources too. So it wasn't like it was a clean break, right? So anyhow, now it's done. Now I'm in all this debt, right? $500,000 in debt. And it's like, what do I do now? Now I'm 42 years old, but not a college graduate. And, you know, the only experience I have is being an entrepreneur. And I found out pretty quickly, there weren't a lot of people interested in my resume, you know? So at the time it was tough. And I'll never forget, the first job I took was to be an operations manager for a sandwich shop chain. And on the very first day, the owner believed in the managers should have their hands in everything and be trained from the ground up, since I'm going to be responsible for all the training. So I went from this bar owner to cleaning and mopping the floor, following a checklist to properly clean the floor at the sandwich shop. And I took it and I got it, right? And as much as my identity was wrapped up in the restaurant, and that was a hard pill to swallow, I still had the confidence deep down that I was looking toward the future. And I knew that so to answer your question, I'm sorry, in a long-winded way.
No, I love the story. Please don't leave anything out. No. They need to hear this.
Okay. And so it was really about looking to the future. It was really about, this is a stepping stone. Everything that I have to go through is a stepping stone. And if I keep maintaining the integrity of the new promises I'm making, right? If I'll rebuild my reputation, I'll rebuild everything back. So okay. I was looking toward what I was focused on where I was headed.
Okay. Whoa. You can't, you got to keep that story going. So now you're mopping floors. I'm with you. I'm in it. You know, at the sandwich shop, you're $500,000 in debt. You're looking to the future. Now what? But you can't give me that cliffhanger. Let's go. Come on. We love stories. Tell us more.
Yeah. So at the time, I started to roll my coaching experience or my self-development, personal development experience into a methodology, into coaching. So I started linking up with, through my connections, I had linked up with a local college who was looking for a trainer, someone that trains and leads workshops. So okay. I started to do that. And then they were asking me for ideas about what workshops I could lead. So I started cutting my teeth on that. So while I was going through this lull in my life, the other point was that I think I was finding my calling through all this, that really helping people and coaching and training and giving people that the things that helped me get through what I was going through was becoming my calling. And I started to look to, I was going to build a business doing that.
Of course it was. Humility, humble, being able to get back after failure. There's no way you could say, yeah, I can relate to it. It's like, yeah, I know what it's like having a baby. No, you don't. If you didn't have one.
right.
I mean, absolutely. It was a deeper calling for you. Okay. So now the sandwich business didn't work. We got that part. You're coaching people.
Yep.
Okay. What year are we in? What year? Take me up.
I started doing that around 2014, I think it was exactly. Okay. So we're 2024. So yeah, 2014, that's the 10-year start. So I started leading workshops then.
Okay. But somehow, while you're doing this over here, because you've been doing this for 10 years, you're doing another business too, something Game Show Palooza. Is that it?
Well, yeah. So I didn't start that then. Game Show Palooza is fairly recently, actually, is recent. So
you're doing the coaching, you're doing the workshop.
Yep. And for money, I could always rely on DJing. And then, you know, that was another thing, that a pill to swallow, is that I went backwards, or I had to, and rekindle those relationships. And I had to do that because now it's about getting cash in, resolving the debt, maintaining the household. Like, so I'm doing everything I can.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Now tell me about, when did Game Show Palooza come about?
So about 2 years ago, I still maintained running an account in the DJ world, or I have, and in any event, they had asked about doing trivia and gaming. And, you know, I know trivia now is the next big thing, or it has been for a while now, but it's, you know, it's a big thing in venues for wineries, breweries, bars, restaurants. So anyway, I started to research because I didn't think the paper and pencil was a good format, simply because people can use their phones now, right? Smartphones make it very difficult to navigate trivia night. So I started looking for something a little bit.
They cheat.
Yeah, they cheat. Yes, they do. They cheat.
I but see them on the phones and I go, wait a minute. All right. Not calling any names out right now today, but go ahead.
So anyway, I started to research finding a solution that has a countdown clock so that it would be shorter, to be the timing between questions, it wouldn't be long enough for people to be able to use their phones. Ooh. And I came across something that was done on the TVs. So it was a hipper version. It was done in a game show format, and it was very interactive, and it had mini games, and it had games of chance and luck. And so if you're not really good at trivia, there were multiple ways to make a comeback. Anyway, the format was fabulous. So I found it, and I, you know, realized that it was a licensed product. So I bought the license, and I thought it was going to be something that, you know, we would do on the side as a small time business to that I could have a couple of guys, you know, people run it. And then all of a sudden, a year and a half later, we're now in 27 venues, and we just actually are adding three more. So we'll be up to 30 venues, and it'll be within, 22 months of running it. Yeah.
It's your side hustle. Just your side hustle.
Yeah. That was the side hustle, correct. Or is actually the side hustle, yes.
Oh my goodness. So do you divide the time equally or depends on the week? You don't know.
Right. So, it takes a lot of delegating, dividing the time, realizing that when things start to pile up, all right, I got to delegate more and I got to renegotiate things. And yeah, it really boils down to delegating.
Yeah. Do you time block? Do you this is the time for family, this is the time for work?
I do, but I'm flexible. So I know that the essence of time blocking is to be real firm with your boundaries. But over the summer with the kids home, that wasn't easy. So I was flexible. And again, I just maintained if something wasn't going to get done at the time I thought it was going to get done, I communicated about it and moved things around elsewhere and tried to be as proactive as I could be moving things around.
Oh, Tom, so much to dive into, but we got a bunch of questions and they're going to be so mad at me because I didn't even ask one yet. I'm going to get you. You can always work with Tom. So let's just get into one I kept hearing over and over again. We'll go, and I always make up names. So we'll go with Billy Bob. Hey, Tom, I've been very fortunate to be successful in business. I am 72 years old, but after about, let's say, 18 failures, I finally hit. I never looked at them as failures. I just kept saying, like most people I heard, I'm getting closer to what I really want. Eventually, I'll get there. My son, who is now 40, he just can't see it. He's had a couple failures and he's like, that's it. I'm just giving up. It must not be meant to be. How can I explain to him that they aren't failures? I mean, a true entrepreneur just gets back up, right? They just put some elbow grease on and go for it. Please help. Well, first of all, it's hard to, with a son and a father, it's just all kinds of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first and foremost, Billy Bob, right?
Billy Bob.
King, I admire your tenacity and sticking to it and going through those 18 failures, right? Because philosophically, we may be able to, looking back, notice, oh yeah, I was unstoppable. Yeah, I could pick myself up. But living it and going through it, Billy Bob, that's amazing. So I want to acknowledge you for living and doing what you had to get through it, right? Because that is no small feat. And congratulations on hitting. We don't always hit. And you did. So congratulations on that. Now, in terms of with your son, right? It's so let's go. I'll try to be as brief as possible. So one thing that works for me is I separate me from my performance. And this might be a good conversation you can have with your son. Just because he has failed, it's a measure. Those failures are measures of how he's performing, how we're doing on the court of the games we play. Sometimes we get the ball stolen from us. Sometimes we turn the ball over. Sometimes we score a basket. But at the end of the day, if we don't make it about us and we just make it about our performance, it makes it easier to give an honest assessment about how we're doing. So it makes it harder to pick ourselves off the ground if we think we are failures, if we think we screwed up or messed up or didn't actually, if it's about us, we can't do it. I'm not good enough. When that's simply not the case. If we just make it about performance, we can keep reassessing. Okay, well, what next? Then what do we have to do? What did we learn? So that's where I would start, is as helping him not be beat himself up over it. That it's got nothing to do with who he is as a person. Look, not everybody plays those games. So to do something on your own or try to even be an entrepreneur, that's a huge game you're playing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't play it. So, and it has nothing to do with who he is as a person, it has everything to do with his performance as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. Got it. Love that. All right. We're going to jump right into Sally's. Dear Tom, help. Oh, help. I've been an entrepreneur my whole life in the IT business, saw things before others did, brought in partners, did very well, raised my family. Everyone was like, woohoo, kudos for you. Then I went to sell my business a few years ago, and somehow my partner screwed me over. And in the agreement, I got barely nothing out of it. I feel like such a failure. I have so many ideas for other businesses now, but I can't go back and change those contracts. How do you keep your confidence up? I look at myself and I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting so upset for her. Mm-hmm. I look at myself in the mirror and I think, how could you be so stupid? How could you not protect yourself? You built all that and now you got barely nothing and you have to start over. Sally is 62. Yes. Oh my God, my heart goes out to her.
Yeah.
And good for her with the IT. But go ahead.
Well, same thing, Sally. You know, congratulations on getting to that point, right? Now I get that obviously something went wrong in the deal, right? And it was something outside of, you know, your awareness at the time. I mean, that's what growth is all about in learning. Like, obviously, if you would have known at the time to have a fail safe in the contracts for this, you would have.
You know what, Tom, because the letter is long from her. She signed the deal. Keep in mind, she's 62. She signed the deal when she was 28.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That long ago in the IT business.
Yeah. So first and foremost, you want to make sure that, and now I don't know if it's a foregone conclusion here, but be diligent in, you know, getting someone to representation to find out. I mean, that seems a little off to me, to be honest with you, that there might be something in there that this isn't a done deal. So do what you can and be diligent about having representation about this deal and having a more fair settlement here. So if that would be the concentrate efforts there, right? Obviously, that's one leg to stand on. Now, if it's and the other leg, whether it's a foregone conclusion or not, there's that, and you get representation to work hard on that for you. And the other side is, you know, it's not about you, right? It's about your performance as an entrepreneur. You signed a deal at 28 years old. Let me tell you something. I didn't know a quarter of the amount of business that I know now at 28 years old, right? So you can't blame yourself now for who you were at 28. And, you know, when you signed that deal, you just didn't have the knowledge, didn't have the experience. And let me tell you something, Sally, you're 62 years old. You are an entrepreneur at heart. Think about with you launching this business, think about the many lives you impacted, the people that worked with you, that worked for you, the customers that you served, right? That is who you are. That is your impact on the world. We're all going to have setbacks. We're all going to struggle. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. But it's important to not let that take us away from who we are and not letting us have that impact that we were meant to have. Mm. So I hope that you get that. You know, this setback is all it is a setback in your performance. But you as an entrepreneur have so much more to offer. So those great ideas that you say you have, pursue them. And those ideas have a great chance to flourish with you at the helm.
I love that. This is going to help so many people, Tom. So I know we're running out of time here, but what is something that you did during the time of 2012, you were saying, and 2014, you kept saying you looked on the future, but a lot of people want to know, was there specific things that you did to keep the belief in yourself, confidence, you know, not get down on yourself? What, we know you said things didn't work at first, but what did work for you to remind yourself? Like how you said you're separated out, like, okay, I made those mistakes as an entrepreneur, but that's not who I am. What did you do?
I went into programs that I could afford, a coaching program. In fact, one of them was a 3-month program where I actually had gotten a coach and I launched my trajectory of my life, the direction I wanted to go. And I had a coach to help me, to remind me when I wanted to beat myself up, to not do that, to actually stay focused on the future, to look at what I'm building, to also stay focused on the present. Like, be excited about the future I'm building and tend to wherever things are I'm struggling with in any of the relationships or finances or areas of my life. Just be diligent about tending to them now and stay focused on what you're building. That was probably the saving grace. And one of the actions I took was I got coaching around it.
Yeah. Listen, I always say it takes a village. Sometimes it takes a team, but you can't do it. Nobody can do it on their own. I mean, you can, but it's going to take a lot longer and you may not get there. I don't know anyone who couldn't benefit from the advice of somebody else. Not, you know, because you can't look at yourself in certain ways. You just can't.
Yeah.
You know? And it, woo, yeah. I was very, very fortunate. I was thinking about that. So I started my health club business when I was in my young 20s. But I had the best mentors in Philly looking after me. I mean, these guys were the who's who, you know, the Pat Croces, right. The Ed Snyders of the world, you know, April. I mean, I had Brian Rupp. I can't even remember who else was it? Russell Palmer. Like, these were the greatest businessmen in the world that I met because I privately trained them and they took me under their wing and taught me everything in business. Because, yeah, I did it in college. I was a dance major. You know, and I had no business experience. And then I ended up getting my master's in exercise phys. But Tom, I listened to them. I took every word they said in. I didn't always do it, but I learned so much from all these business people. And to this day, I have so many mentors I can reach out to and coaches. I don't know what I would do without them. I really don't, you know, because you can only do so much on your own. And I love the fact that you, I mean, that's big that you knew you needed that.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know if I needed it. Honestly, Sandy, it was just out of desperation. Oh. And wow, now I can look back and say, wow, I needed it. But, you know, I had nowhere else to turn. And, you know, the other thing is my friends and family meant well. They love me.
Of course.
But at the time, they weren't helping me. They wanted me to play small. They were afraid for me. In fact, when I started to mention I was going to take other things on, they were afraid for me, you know? So they weren't at the time the best advice givers, right? They weren't the best people to share my future with and the dreams that I was up to and what I was, because they were like, wow, are you serious? You know, they were
skin in the game. They have skin in the game, right? And plus I always, and I'm sure you're the same way. I'm a dreamer. I have all these creative things. Some I, you know, go to tuition, some don't. But I know the people and I'm very, very selective. I share it with, you know, because I want them to be the same kind of people that I am. You know, they think big. And if not, I don't share it until I go, no matter what they say, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I know my husband, I cannot tell you how many times he's like, oh, because I got 37 rejections from big publishers for my book. And he's like, oh, please just stop the pain. He goes, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm going to try another year and a half. But I get it because they don't, like, what are you doing going? And then I was going to tell him something else I'm doing. I'm like, and I love the death I want to share, but I know it'll be like, why?
Yeah.
Why would you do that to yourself? You know?
Yeah.
So it's so important.
It really
is. You have those people that you can share that with that will keep you on target, keep you focused. And that's know, right. Like you kept saying, be clear on what you really want to achieve.
Yeah. And especially since you're the only one who sees it most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, and even when you share it, people don't see it like you see it. You know, there was many times Deirdre would say to me, what are you doing? What are you working on so much? She had no idea what I was laying the foundation for. Yeah. Only now, this is 10 years later, and she still doesn't give me full credit, but she's like, okay, all right, I can see it now. I can see it. But it took a long time. She just didn't see it. And she was scared. We have a family.
Yeah.
She's like, you know, so,
I get it.
That.
My husband, even now, it's different now. We've been married, it'll be 23 years this month. And he'll say to me, I don't really understand it all. I really don't get it. Most of the time you're talking, I hear wah, 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 something universe, but I got your back. And I go, okay, that's all I ask.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Yeah.
That means the world to me, Tom, because the fact that he has no clue what I'm talking about, doesn't understand it, but yet I have your back.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Tom, listen, we got to go, man. I'm so sad. I loved every minute of it. We got through most of the things I wanted to get through, and you've given so many great pearls of wisdom. I cannot tell you. It's more than I thought we would get in this time.
That's great.
So many. You're the real deal. You can see you eat, breathe, and live what you're doing. And you're absolutely 100% your journey took you to where you are now. But before we go, the first thing I want to ask is, what can we leave the people with? If they were like, okay, right now, what's something I can do today to take action on what I want to accomplish in my life? What would you recommend they do?
I would suggest taking a 5-year look at where you want to end up. What does it look like 5 years from now? Right? Get a long view of, you know, 5 years from now, this is an ideal situation for me, or these are the goals or what I want my life to look like. And then reverse engineer the yearly milestones backward. If you know where you're going to be in 5 years, what do you have to have accomplished in year 4 so that you know you're on track? What do you have to have accomplished in year 3 so that you know you're on track? What do you have to have accomplished in year 2? And what do you have to have accomplished a year from now? And then break that year down into monthly milestones. And then once you have what you need to do 30 days or need to accomplish 30 days from now, take action steps. You'll notice when you start with a long-term plan, there's not a whole heck of a lot you have to do right now. It's digestible when you break it down that way. And you want to be influenced by the future. You don't want to be influenced by what's on your plate now. Because when you start to look at what you want to be and what you want to do in the future and how you want your life to look, there's a lot of things that's taking up your time and energy now that may not be important. So you always want to be influenced by where you're headed.
I love that. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
Break it down, baby. Break it down. All right, Tom, where can they find you? If they want to book you for speaking engagements, workshops, coaching, what's the best way to reach you?
Yeah. So right now I'm under construction. My marketing and everything's is being revamped. And some exciting news. I got an app coming out and things like that for my coaching business. But BT, letter B as in boy, T as in Tom, -results.com.
Okay. And by the way, maybe when it's come out, more of it's going to be done. Your app will be done, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely. The app's almost complete. I'm actually recording modules now, so it could be a self-study. So yeah, that's all under construction. And you know, you can always reach out to bt-results.com and send me an email as for all those arrangements.
All right, my let's keep it real people. Tom and I would really appreciate you sharing, liking, and rating it. It means the world to us. I love you guys. Thank you so much for supporting me. And by the way, kudos to all of you for supporting my TEDx. It's really helped a lot. It means the world. The comments mean the world. And I love reading them. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, you know what I'm going to say. Bye, Tom, and toodles.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe if you enjoyed the show. And remember, keep spreading the positive.